At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
With over 25 years of expertise, DAF Giving 360's donor advised funds can help you get a tax deduction and potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free while you recommend when and where to give. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Here we go. It's hour number two of the GBAG Nation on 105.3 The Fan. We have Danny Cannell coming up at 3:40. Looking forward to that Rangers player show coming up here in about 20 minutes or so. Got a Cowboys question for you. And here's a tease coming up at 3:40. Brian Broaddus maybe can tell you some more about the new Cowboys corners that came in. They've released Zion Childress and Andrew Booth and brought in two new guys. And Broaddus will have some details on that coming up at 3:40. So Quite a lot of football content in here for you around that Rangers interview coming up in about 20 minutes. Still waiting on confirmation for who exactly it is, so stay tuned. But I used to do a bit called Cowboys Gavin where, I'd say at that point I'm super excited about the Cowboys. I'm riding through the streets firing my six shooters. And the last time he rode was 2021. You know, it has been nearly a half decade since I felt confident that the Cowboys could go do it. Like, hey, they're in this thing. They're in the playoffs. They got good a shot as, you know, anybody. But that 49ers game, it just crushed all belief. And then everything that we've seen since then has just been further confirmation. Cowboys don't know how difficult it is to win the Super Bowl, or they're not trying hard enough. They're just not putting enough good players out there, in my opinion. Especially if you're going to win with a quarterback of Dak Prescott's quality, which, by the way, I think is significant. Significant qualities on Dak Prescott. Good player. But not the kind of superhero that could win with less than a good offensive line or a bad running game or a below-average defense, which too often the Cowboys have had multiples of those things when they arrive in January. So I was just kind of thinking, because now the foreseeable future looks like, you know, that 2010 to 2013 run where they're waiting on great draft classes. And now I kind of feel like they've lost their fastball with the draft. Or maybe that Tyron Smith, Travis Frederick, Zach Martin combination was so incredible, but it sets a bar super, super high. And I think protected Dak and allowed him the perfect environment to enter the league and start putting together, you know, a Pro Bowl type of resume. So to imagine happening now, I feel like we got to project out at least a couple of years, right? At 877-881-1053. Go ahead, text in. Leave your name and city you're texting from. But let's have an honest conversation about when we think the next time might be where we could be confident about these Cowboys going on a playoff run. Does that involve Dak Prescott's contract running out, getting on the other side of the dead money, and drafting a quarterback who can play at a Pro Bowl level on a rookie contract? Is that where we got to get to?
Yeah.
Before we can feel good again?
I think that's the case for sure.
Yeah, because hope comes from the quarterback, really. And I think that we had it with Romo, thinking, okay, finally we've got our next quarterback since Troy. And then you had it with Dak. And there was a lot of heartbreak with Romo's career when it comes to the last game of the season. The division's on the line, and you're falling short. One of those games he didn't play. Matt Castle had to step in because he hurt himself in that Washington game, bringing him back and firing a touchdown to DeMarco Murray. But, yeah, and then you had the Seattle loss. You had the Giants loss. You had the heartbreak of Green Bay. So now you're thinking, like, maybe Dak's the one that can break this curse. Clearly it's not, you know, a quarterback curse. It's a Cowboys curse that's going on right now. But I think, yes, I think, you know, and it's not Dak's fault. It's for everything you said. We were out there. We got to see him practice in Oxnard for a week. And I think anybody that's a fan that watches this team on a week-to-week basis, like, you can tell there is a talent discrepancy between the Cowboys roster and when you watch Baltimore play, or you watch, you know, certainly with the Eagles, so you get to play them twice a year. They're just not quite there. So I do think the next hopium will come from a new franchise quarterback, and hope that maybe this is the guy that can finally get you past that finish line.
And I think I'm willing to believe with Jerry having his current role, it's possible to hit on enough drafts. You know, maybe a couple of these teams over the years have been good enough. They just didn't have things go their way, especially early for Romo. You know, some of the bad luck involved there. You know, the Dez catch, no catch. I still don't know if they could have won that game. But, you know, what if they get that ball snapped against San Francisco and you throw it into the end zone? I think that team could have done it. You know, Dan Quinn had that defense playing well. Like, they stopped San Francisco's offense after those first couple of drives. So I do think it's possible. I don't think I need to see Jerry Jones has moved on. He's selling the team, or he's stepping down and hiring a new GM. I think even as dysfunctional as it is, it's feasible that they could pull it off.
I think for the last 15 years, they haven't had a very good head coach. Mm. I think that until they get somebody that can go in there, this team is always, when I talk to Gang of Seven, they're always saying, man, that roster, look at the roster. You know, why, you know, and you guys practicing down there? I mean, what's up? What's going on? It's always something to do with the coach. And I just wonder, I'm hoping for
when all those penalties are happening.
I'm hoping for Brian Schottenheimer. Guy, he's such a likable guy. But man, go back and look 30 years ago. What was it? It was a badass from Oklahoma State, Miami that came in here and
had total control of everything.
Yeah. To me, he also, I mean, I wish we'd have gotten Bill Parcells, and he got rid of me, and good for him. He was smart to do that. But the thing that Bill, I wish we'd have gotten Bill when he was younger.
Yeah.
Because that would have been, that's what you needed right then.
A difference-making head coach. Yeah, so we need to see signs that Shoddy's.
You don't need Wade Phillips. You don't need Chan Gailey. You don't need Jason Garrett. You don't need, you know, Mike McCarthy.
I don't think there was a single week we were excited about Jason Garrett throughout his entire 9 years.
No, and even McCarthy was kind of at the end too. He didn't want to work anymore. You know, he just didn't want to work. And so it depends on the type of guy you get. Like, I'd love for this team to have a Dan Campbell, somebody like that. You know. Yeah. Like, even you, we talk
so you
about,
think it's more attitude and commanding the room and energy?
Yeah, I think they've done not every single player has been great that they've drafted or signed or whatever.
Gone cold a little bit too.
But man, like I say, I saw Parcells come in here with the roster that we had that was bad for 3 years.
Yeah.
And get that thing in the playoffs. That's what you need. Yeah. You need that guy. And I think that's the thing holding this team back the most.
I think a lot of it starts with Clayton Adams and Connor Riley. And because there was more of an emphasis on X's and O's. And you can get the right coach with demanding excellence, accountability, discipline, energy from a Dan Campbell or, you know, Jimmy Johnson. But I also think you can win by being incredibly likable and having the answers with X's and O's, you know, figuring out a way to give your team an advantage. I think that's a great point. I guess I could see it by the end of the year if we're feeling like, wow, Shoddy's cleaned up the penalties. He's made the team more physical. They're more disciplined. And we're seeing scheme that once they get a top 10 offensive line and a good running back, they'll be able to exploit it.
Man, just give me a difference maker in the playoffs too. Give me the guy that I know my coach is better than your coach today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they haven't had one since Bill.
Yeah.
And that's the people up top that are hiring the coaches.
Oh, that's true. That's absolutely true. I focus on stuff that I could potentially change. That other stuff that you guys focus on, that coach, that general manager stuff, that ain't changing.
Yeah, but I don't know that, that's the crux of the problem that you want is going to happen.
But
the
question was, what's holding him back?
Yeah.
Or when do you, with optimism?
What would make you believe?
That's me, the coach.
Yeah, I love the coach.
It's hard to be a Cowboys fan if you grew up with Tom Landry. I grew up with Tom Landry. That's my guy.
Yeah.
You know, that's the kind of guy. And then all of a sudden it went from Tom Landry to Jimmy Johnson. And the fall off was not, it was like, whoa, it was only a couple year fall off there, you know? And next thing you're back in the chips, you know? That just shows you what you could do with a difference-making head coach.
I mean, other than the Eagles and the Giants getting two each, it's mostly dominant quarterbacks with amazing coaches that get this thing done.
As much as I hate Tom Coughlin, that I give him credit for the Giants. They come
he's
in
a tough
here,
son of a gun.
I give him credit.
He changed and adapted.
He adapted. He changed. He got lucky. He had a plan. Yeah. But, man, he went on the road four straight times. Won a Super Bowl doing
sure
that.
Did.
I'll tell you what else I think, and maybe this is the most realistic thing, is Jerry decides, guys, I'm tired of this. We haven't gone on a magic carpet ride. I'd like to go on another one. And instead of taking all of the profits that we make from this team and buying real estate and oil companies, we're going to buy up a bunch of free agents here about 2-3 years in a row until we win it. And future the salary cap, you guys can figure that out. Because, you know, after this championship, it'll be fine to have a couple of losing seasons. I don't know if Jerry has that gear left in him. I do think Jerry is at a point where maybe he looks at what's the end of my legacy is growing this family wealth from, I think Stephen A. Smith estimated family wealth at $16 billion. Can we go to Hundo? You know, can I make high leverage moves in the stock market and investments to explode our family wealth? I think he probably looks at that as a better use of the profits from the Cowboys than trying to get a fourth Super Bowl before he's done. But I'd love to be proven wrong on that. And I think he is competitive enough. You got to be getting annoyed with watching Steven run this thing like it's a mutual fund, for crying out loud. Let's put some freaking risk in this thing and actually go for it. But, you know, the bar in the NFL is much higher these days. You can't just, you know, try to wade in there. You got to go with both feet.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking too, especially with the way teams are approaching it these days. Teams like the Eagles, where they are willing to overextend themselves in the short term and pay the price years later. And so it's hard to compete with teams like that if you don't have an unbelievable quarterback, Pat Mahomes-level quarterback, an Andy Reid-level coach. It's going to be tough to compete with that if all you're really doing to team build is the draft, which is the ultimate crapshoot. You can be really good at drafting, and you're still talking about a coin flip situation.
The way it's structured, you can keep just pushing it out into the future, and you can borrow more than eventually the bill that you're paying. So as long as you structure it and stagger it right, the only thing stopping Philadelphia from just continuing to do this is cash flow. Because they sold the 10%. Right now, the NFL will only let you do that once.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe there is an end of the line, but as they win so much, now they're increasing their revenue, their season ticket prices, their merchandising. So
beer sales.
You know, Lurie might come up with a way of creating the revenue stream to allow them to continue to just financially dominate the league and build a roster way better than others. You know, and whoever the quarterback happens to be at that time, whether it's Carson Wentz or Foles or Jalen Hurts, you get to be an MVP candidate along at the same time, even though you're just average. All righty. If you're Micah right now, would you think, man, I'm probably not going to get a sack against the Eagles anyway? Or is he thinking, boy, I got to play in Philly so all my buddies can see me? How would you think he'd be looking at that one?
I went back and watched the Eagles game last year that was played at AT&T Stadium. The guy it was hard for Philadelphia to block was Overshown.
Was he?
Yeah, Overshown was making a lot of plays. And to me, but they were double and triple teaming Mike in this game. And so it kind of allowed for some others to feed a little bit. But I think he knows playing against Lane Johnson and playing against Jordan Mailata.
Yeah.
And then having to deal with Dallas Goedert hitting him in the ribs every once in a while. This is a tough matchup for him.
So he's flying out of the state today to get a medical opinion on the back, a second opinion on the back, which allows him to slip that week one and then get a 9-day
between, you know, week one and week two to fully get ready. I think it can make a lot of sense for him to sit this one out and let the Cowboys feel the pain of not having him against their biggest rival.
Yeah, yeah, especially if he can find a way to do it while still making the game check, which is what he's clearly efforting to do right now. I don't know if he'd be willing to do that if he feels like he's actually going to lose that, whatever it is, $1.5 million.
Yeah, I think it's like $1.3 million or something like that.
Yeah, $1.3 million.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, he's carrying himself like a guy who is not intending to play.
That's for sure. And, you know, how does Jerry Jones take that if a guy, you know, manipulates the medical system? Like, Jerry doesn't even want to let Mozzie Smith go because there's guaranteed money that he's going to give him, right? You won't let a head coach go, whether it's Jason Garrett or Mike McCarthy, in his final year because you don't want to pay two coaches. What's it going to feel like when a player takes $1.3 million and is actively pulling against, you know, playing? For me, I think Jerry might look at that as being disloyal to him, mm-hmm. might look at that as unethical. And from Micah's perspective, you can look back on it and say, you've done a bunch of unethical stuff. This is warfare. But we're talking about how Jerry Jones could react to that and the potential of, you know, them changing course with their decision to not listen to trade offers. I guess that's what I'm hoping for right now.
I mean, I was just looking at the timeline for Ramsey in Jacksonville, and he was also a Mulligetta client. And he started the season with them, and then there was a huge sideline outburst, and he requested a trade, and then he misses three games. One of them he was saying, I got the bad back. Another one he says, I've got the flu, I'm sick. And then eventually Jacksonville got the trade to L.A., and then everything's miraculously fine with Jalen Ramsey.
Oh, he'd be fine if he signed. He'd be fine if he signed.
Yeah, I'm sure he would be, and I'm sure that if the Cowboys decided, you know what, we are done here, and we'll talk to the Packers.
What did Jalen Ramsey want at that time? Did he want a new contract, or did he want to be traded?
He wanted a new contract, and then after a meeting with Jacksonville, it became apparent he wasn't going to get the money that he wanted. So then he formally requested a trade. Then he missed three games, and then they ended up trading him. But during the missing of the three games, he had the back injury and then also the flu mixed in there.
So he didn't miss game checks.
Well, that's genius work from you, Wolchuk. That kind of spells out exactly where this thing is heading.
That's Mulligetta's client, too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's your plan. Here you go.
So how do you think Jerry reacts to that? You've been in rooms with him.
No, he's not going to be happy at all. I mean, he's not happy right now. Like I said, it's a bad situation all around. Jerry was wrong. Players wrong. So they've all had a hand in this one.
Are you with me just wishing that they decide to trade him?
I think there's people in the organization that would absolutely just want to move on from him, that they don't want to pay him the $40 million. I think it's difficult to replace a player like that myself.
Well, yeah, and there's no replacing him right now. You trade him for draft picks. Like, that doesn't help you for this team. So everybody in that locker room is like, gosh dang, I think really? Like, that's what we're doing? You clearly don't think we're going to be doing much winning right now.
Yeah, the thing that you got some really good news on Diggs coming back. You know, that Diggs injury looked like that might be October before you'd get him to play. Now there's a possibility that he could play maybe week one, week two. Man, you finally got some really good news about your corner situation. Where all of a sudden, Diggs is playing outside, Elam's playing the other side, and you got Bland in the slot. Now you can match up. Now you're going to be okay. But now you got your best pass rusher, one of your best players in a contract dispute.
If you moved him, I mean, how much better are we feeling if we get more good news on Overshown? And now you've got another guy that's capable of blitzing and rushing the passer and just another element on your defense that causes a problem.
To be honest with you, I think what we'll have to do is we have to cobble some of these sacks together with Fowler and Ezeraku and Nealon. And we're going to have to find a way to come up with 15 sacks. Somehow, some way, we're going to have to come up with 15 of them.
And a buttload of pressures.
Yeah, that's what that guy gives you.
Yeah, he's forcing double team and triple teams all the time. Yeah.
Where are you on the idea that the Cowboys should acknowledge we're in a rebuilding mode? Or do you think it's possible that enough surprises happen to put this team in contention this year?
I think your division is going to be difficult to win. And I don't know if that puts you in rebuilding mode. But I think that the thing that I like what they did with the guard. I think going out and trying to get Pickens, I thought that was a really, really good move, you know, to try and help them. I think their offense is very capable. The defense is terrifying now. And if Micah was in there, I'd feel a lot better about it because of the news, like I just said, we got with the secondary. I think Matt Eberflus is capable of kind of masking some things and smoke and mirrors some things. But man, this is going to be tough if Micah Parsons ain't playing, because he's a difference maker out there, you know. But I kind of feel like, I don't think it's a rebuilding thing. I think you're gonna, the biggest problem is the inexperience of your head coach. That's the biggest problem, I think, right now.
Yeah, inexperience of a head coach and your neglect of safety, linebacker, defensive tackle for two decades now is really coming to roost. You're not physical enough, and you can win like that. You don't have to be a physical defense to win. Yeah. There's been examples of it. It's just very, very difficult.
Yeah, they lost
out. I don't want to go through all of this and have, you know, really get whooped by the agent for a situation trying to save a season that's not worth saving. You know, we can move on from this, draft players that, you know, maybe plug gaps. We have good young pass rushers. Like, it's even without Micah Parsons, it's not the biggest shortcoming on your team.
Yeah, but to me, he could be a difference maker.
Sure.
Yeah, he's supposed to make up for all those holes at linebacker and safety.
I'm watching the Eagles game, they're triple teaming him, and who gets home? You know, Overshown gets home. So yeah,
and even Micah had two sacks in that game.
Yeah.
All right, we got to run. Krusty's Corner coming up at 3:40. We'll get more Cowboys news coming up next year. It's the G-Back.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can express yourself in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Donor-advised funds from DAF Giving 360. Your clients can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or appreciated assets like real estate. It's a simple, tax-smart way to give. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Big moments or small moments, they all deserve great style. Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. Visit your local Maurice's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
G-Bag Nation, the fan. Welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on the fan. Cowboys have had a pretty dang busy day. Three new players. Krusty's Corner coming up here in about 15 minutes. Broadus will tell you all about them. For me, it's a move Micah Wednesday, though. Get picks. Save the cap space. I mean, the Dak contract has put them behind the eight ball so hard. They used to be able to restructure it to get the number low, but now they've done that so many times, they have to restructure just to get it under $60 million. And now here we are, you know, pouring over the scrap heap, trying to find undrafted players and seventh round picks that the other teams don't want to maybe come in and be starters for you.
Really, that's how bad the Cowboys have screwed this cap up. And it sucks because they never went all in with the cap. This was the result of, for entire Dak's career, playing the cap conservatively so they could, you know, in theory, contend every year. Well, at the end of that road, I believe it's the real salary cap hell. And I think right now the only way out of it is to trade Micah four picks and hope you hit those picks so hard that you can find another way to get good players on this team instead of looking at failures from other organizations. And from the looks of things, I don't know if Micah wants to be here. Okay. 972 asks, why is Micah at the airport? Jane Slater reporting he's flying to a doctor to get a second opinion on his back that the Cowboys doctors or MRIs, their medical staff said looks pretty clean, you know, and they're saying he's good to go. So this is essentially contract warfare. You know, you go get a second opinion that says actually my client, you know, is hurt. And then they're going to find an independent doctor down the road, probably, you know, way too late for him to play in week one, even if it's before week one. And he'll effectively get to miss week one and still get his game check. So I feel like this is escalated enough. If I'm a player, I don't want him on my team. If I'm Jerry, I feel like this guy is stealing. If I'm a player, look, we all get this Jerry treatment. It's been happening for 30 years. Right. And we'll support you up until you start withholding from the team. You know how many veteran players there are that this might be their last chance? We got George Pickens and CeeDee Lamb. We actually have a pretty, you know, badass offensive potential here. We need you for defense. And if you want to, you know, turn your back, I believe, on your brothers, I believe that's what we're looking at here. That would be my perspective as a player. I don't really want you here. If you're going to be that much about yourself, you know, and you can't stomach the idea of playing for $24 million. Now, mind you, I'm probably part of the 85% of the working class of the NFL. I'm battling my balls off for $900,000 and you don't want to play for $24 million. So now we all just get crapped on against the Eagles. Too sweet, dude. I don't want you here. I don't know if the coaches want you here. He's already been through the social media ringer where he's on there, you know, on the podcast. And we heard that almost every player on the roster went into coach's office, said, man, we got to shut this down. This is a problem. This is, you know, not right. I don't know where you look at with the Tank and Micah rivalry. You know, maybe Tank is toxic himself and he brought an equal amount to the party. But, you know, Micah's not been a uniter. And I don't think anybody wants to hang out with him on the sideline. Nobody's going up to him saying, hey, Micah, what's up? He's standing there alone. He doesn't want to talk to people. People don't want to talk to him. It's 180 degrees from the Brian Schottenheimer culture that he is implementing. And I hope, like today, I hope that the Cowboys have decided this is where we draw our line in the sand. And we are not going to reward a player that is withholding services from the team to this extent. All righty, so that's what it's all about to me. Danny Cannell's coming up at 4 o'clock. Krusty's Corner here coming up at 3:40. Any reaction to that, guys? Or
I don't think players are going to put themselves between...
publicly.
The money, yeah. But I know, and I've said this before, and people will, you know, tag you on Twitter and say what they want to say about leadership and other players loving the guy. There's definitely those in that locker room that aren't Micah Parsons fans. And then there's some that are, that do love him. And I don't think this is going to impact their feelings on him at all. It's the business part of it. And the team's off until Friday. So it's not like he is skipping and missing a practice today and he's not doing it tomorrow. We'll see what happens on Friday. But it's certainly now as it's like the season's here. We got a game to prepare for. It's Cowboy sad feelings. You know, anytime the Cowboys like lose a game, my wife will be like, oh, you're Cowboy sad now. She can just tell. I'm feeling Cowboys sad with the way that this is turning out right now. It's frustrating. You want to be able to focus on the 2025 season and getting ready to go, and maybe this team can go on a miracle run. I don't think any of us feel like they're a championship team. But now it's just all the focus on the crap that's going on off the field, per usual.
You know what's great in sports is hope. And I would think the hope of the Great Train Robbery 2.0 could fortify you at a time like this. Well, yeah, Chuck.
I'm very open-minded to that. I just unfortunately can't do anything with those picks right now. I got to wait until the end of the season. But yeah, if a team calls, and especially a team like, I don't know, could I convince like the Carolina Panthers or New Orleans or Cleveland or any of these?
I learned something yesterday.
Bottom barrel squads.
You know, I was talking about that New Orleans pick you're going to get for Awesome Richards.
Yeah.
It's like 2028.
I saw that too.
God dang it. I felt stupid. I thought that was the next year's pick. I thought that was a next year six is what that was.
It's a few years down the line. Hopefully they like still it. Suck by then. But
hey, Kellen Moore's their coach.
Yeah, that's a shame.
I think if it was revealed the Cowboys have a plan called Project 2028,
yeah,
I would like that. I'd say, holy cow, we're actually thinking long term instead of pretending you can contend every single year. That's the problem here, is trying to keep this thing together on a house of cards for a decade. It's about to collapse. And you're going to have Dak at a cap number, $70 million, not even having an over 500 team.
That's what's the frustrating part, is like you want to go in rebuild mode when you got the highest paid quarterback in the sport. You just gave up a third round pick for George Pickens, so you're not going to have that third round pick this year. Potentially that comes back to you in a compensatory way the next.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's why the whole timing of all this is so frustrating. I get drawing a line in the sand or whatever, but it's like, dude, it's too late. You've allowed this to drag out just as much as Micah has.
Yeah.
So this should have happened if you were on your P's and Q's in a normal organization that gets ahead of things and thinks about the future a little bit. You've known Micah Parsons in the way he is since day one. No one's had a better understanding of who Micah is than you. So if you didn't think that he was the type of personality that was going to fit with the culture and all this other stuff, you should have traded him this past offseason, months ago, or last offseason. But now you get here, and it's because they're the way they like to drag things out every single time. At some point, it's going to bite you, and now it is. This is a you problem, Cowboys, because your best player's not playing. And you got them all fed up, and there's a lot of stuff that you can say, Micah, you shouldn't be doing this or that. But, hey, like Jerry said, dude, this is business, and when it's business, we ain't friends right now. Michael Irvin, you're my favorite player ever. But when it is business time, when we get in the room, we're enemies right now until we get that deal done.
Yeah, and every other team would have got the deal done.
Everyone else gets this thing done. If they didn't think he was the type of guy for the team, then they would have just moved on for him and actually got something that can benefit them now, especially when you're paying Dak as much as you're paying him, CeeDee Lamb as much as you're paying him. Yeah. You just traded a third-round pick for George Pickens. Like, come on.
Yeah, I would say if you want to keep Micah because it's our chance to win, then let's fix your shortcomings, you know, but don't stay in this middle of the road with your roster engagement farming on the idea that your superstars are going to carry you to victory. That's a myth. That doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of what they think, though. I guess that feels like how they've operated ever since. I mean,
yeah, low risk moves.
Exactly. Yeah. And we're just going to try and put together a team that we think is talented, even though they're always pretty damn top heavy. It's not like they're a super deep team. It's usually like, all right, you look at these rosters, and they're good at the top. When you start suffering some injuries here, now all of a sudden there's leaks, and they're not able to put Band-Aids to fill these.
All right, we got to run. Thanks for entertaining me. The segment's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Go online, carsforkids.org, to donate your vehicle. Brian, we got Krusty's Corner coming up next. Where are you taking us?
Yeah, I'll give you a little bit of idea of these two players they claimed. We'll do that next.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
No matter why your clients give, a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360 makes charitable giving simple and efficient. They can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and their assets can potentially grow tax-free as they recommend when and where to give. DAF Giving 360 has over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors. Mm-hmm.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. We're about personalized style that fits your life. Made for real life moments. Maurice's.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. Danny Cannell is coming up at 4 o'clock here, our college football expert. They could tell you about all the big games this weekend. It's a 2-1 80th minute of the EFL Cup, 88th minute now, I'm sorry, where Grimsby Town of the 4th Division leads Man United. This is an elimination match. United, two matches played so far in the Premier League. They're 0-1-1, Brian. So
where's this match being played? Is this at Old Trafford?
This is in Grimsby. Grimsby Town, one of those tiny stadiums.
This is incredible.
Yeah, it's a weird in-season tournament, but still massive embarrassment. I saw that the Man United roster is $729 million worth of contracts. Uh-huh. Grimsby Town, $3.1 million. Time now for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Here's the king, Brian.
Thank you very much, Joe. Appreciate that. How about that? $3.1
million to $729.
That wouldn't even cover the food budget for Man United there. Man, that would be what a imagine being in the stadium for that one.
Yeah.
If you're like a longtime supporter of that team and just, wow.
They'll be singing about this night for a long time if they can survive about five more minutes.
They got to survive it. They got to survive it. But all right. First off, I was surprised. This morning I talked to somebody over there at the Cowboys, and I just was curious. I'm like, listen, I know that at 11 a.m. that's when they were supposed to claim. And I was sitting there thinking, okay, well, just give me a position, you know. And they wouldn't tell me they wouldn't give me names, but they'll say, hey, we're looking at defensive backs is what we're looking at. And I kind of sat there and I was thinking I wasn't thinking one. I was thinking one. I wasn't thinking two. And so, Zach, I'll ask you first, though. Were you surprised, though, that it went player for player on this one? That, you know, usually you claim a guy and it's like, I was trying to kind of figure out who the 53rd player on this team was, and I didn't have
Childress and Booth.
I didn't have Childress and Booth as being the 53rd player on this team.
No.
I kind of felt like that it was maybe Cornelius, the offensive tackle, and maybe even Mozzie Smith, where I was kind of thinking that would be the 53rd player if you had to. But it was honestly surprising to me that they moved on prisoner for prisoner on this one.
Yeah, and I also wondered with the ability to move.
Oh, 2-2.
Sorry,
Will. Oh, they tied it?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, I also wondered with like the IR moves that they could make later on with Carson going to the IR, Mafa. Like, does that help them? Because I'm bummed about, like, hopefully Childress comes back on the practice squad.
Yeah.
But to move on from Childress, yeah, I thought maybe it'd be another D lineman or an offensive lineman. I mean, they kept 11 D linemen. Now, which one is he going to be? Mozzie would make a ton of sense for me, but evidently not so fast.
Well, see, the thing with Carson and Mafa, though, they had to be on the roster because they've already designated Mingo.
Yeah. Later this afternoon?
Yeah, they designate Mingo and Turner as the guys that they can come back without any problems. So, but the thing with Carson and Mafa, we'll see how that all plays out, though. But that's to me, that's not surprising. I think with Mafa, like you say, him getting hurt, you know, last week, I think that's really disappointing for him.
Oh, for sure.
He could have been, you know,
I was excited about him.
Probably in the mix on this one. All right. they did claim a couple corners, and I've been kind of taking a peek at the two corners that they claimed. And I had one of my gang of seven tell me about this kid. I just was curious about one of my gang of seven guys, and he would know this player pretty well. And this is what he said. He says, I'm really kind of surprised. He goes, I should tell you, this is Reedy Stewart that I'm talking about from Minnesota.
Reedy Stewart, okay.
Reedy Stewart from Minnesota.
Undrafted 2024 out of Troy.
Yeah. And one of my gang of seven guys said about him. He says, I'm kind of surprised. He's a good kid. He's kind of a rough tweener as a player. So he's not big enough or fast enough for outside and not explosive enough and strong enough for inside. He's a close but no cigar guy, is what this guy said. This is a scout talking, by the way. Not a standout on teams either. He's a good kid with above average skills that competes. Not sure how he helps your active roster, is what he said. I went back myself and watched him a little bit on the preseason game. There were 61 plays that he had, so I was going through those plays. He is a slot corner. He'll line up on the outside, but is always, I shouldn't say always, but he's more of an inside player. I did think he had a little foot quickness with him when you watch the when he got up on his guy. He did, his feet did move pretty well, I thought. I didn't feel like he was heavy footed. I mean, we'll talk about a guy a little bit, or the second guy, maybe a little bit less quickness than what Stewart has here. But they used him as a blitzer, and I thought when he blitzed, he closed ground okay for that. I mean, when the quarterback got outside the pocket and he had to run, he was able to kind of get over there, and I thought that was, it was some straight line quickness as far as that went. I thought he could plant and drive pretty well from what I saw. The inside routes, I thought he was carried those okay. It wasn't like there was big separation. Again, we're going to get into Bridges from the Chargers. He's a little bit more of some separation there.
178 pounds. Huh? Did he look tiny? Look
frail? He's small.
Skinny.
He's a small guy. Mm.
They're going to run right at this dude.
Yeah.
He's a ball god.
Yeah. I see this as, when you watch him as a, I call him a block down tackler. And when I mean block down, he's going to kind of throw his body at the legs of the ball carrier and try and get him down that way. Didn't see any of the wrap up stuff. But I did like the way he mixed it up with blockers. They tried to throw a screen on him to the outside, and he was able to fight with the blockers, being a shorter guy. And then he was able to get off the block and be a part of that play. I thought he could stay with his man when they asked him to play the coverages when he had to carry the guy. And I thought he was able to kind of adjust on the move. So kind of split between what the scout thought about the guy and what I thought about the guy. At this particular player, but the he is, like I say, he's going to be more of a slot player than he is going to be an outside player. Okay, how do you say this guy's name, Dawson? You did it right.
It's Triquez.
Triquez is how we say that. Okay, Triquez Bridge. He's a cornerback from the Cowboys claimed from the Chargers, and this guy is a lot longer, and he's a lot more of a rangy kind of build. So this kind of fits into what Will McClay and those guys like over there with the length of a cornerback. This guy's kind of probably fits their eye a little bit better. I thought he would come forward and tackle. They showed that a couple different times. I thought he needed a little bit better body control when it came to that. There were a couple times he came flying up there. And you know, sometimes corners, they play in space, and the ball's coming their direction, and they just go flying up there, and then they go flying by.
Yeah, they're not breaking down.
Yeah, he flew up there, hit, and then kind of fell off a little bit. Yeah. But at least he showed the willingness to try and attack the ball carrier, so I was okay with that. But I said I didn't feel like he was afraid of the contact. He does play both sides, so he's playing left corner and right corner, and he's playing primarily on the outside is what he's doing. So he does well to get his hands on the receiver, and that's the best thing really he does, is play the press man coverage and then get his hands up on that guy and then try and redirect or hold them along the line of scrimmage. I think the length and the ranginess of him, that helps him there. He's a long strider as a runner, and I think he needs a little bit more of a burst. He is not a very, because of how long he is, it doesn't look like he's moving very fast. But he's feisty in the way he plays. There was a couple of times where he was mixing it up after the play. I like that about him. He is a press man guy. I said that as well. It takes a little bit for him to close on the ball. I don't think there was a ball that was caught from and off coverage where he was backpedaling and then what they call that click and close. He hit the click part, and then it took a little bit for him to come forward. So there was a pass that went to the outside flat where he clicked and closed, and he was just a little bit late on getting to the ball, and the receiver caught the ball. But just a little bit more quickness, he might have been able to play the ball with the off hand and knock it down. Mm-hmm. He's a long guy, as I mentioned. That's hard for him to turn. He's going to pedal, and he's going to open, and it's going to be a little bit longer than, say, a shorter guy. But that it's going to take him some time to do that. Just there's not that quick twitch type of a player here. So I guess because of his length, that's going to kind of the player that you're getting at right now. So those are the two guys that we're dealing with here that the Cowboys play.
Reading up on them, it said they were, you know, ball savvy guys, interceptions. Yeah. I think the first guy you talked about, Stewart, had two picks in a preseason game last year. Then he got in for one game and peanut punched Marvin Harrison.
Yeah, there you go. Well, that's, I can say, I was surprised that the one scout thought what he did about him, because I did see a guy that was explosive and was strong enough and stuff like that. Barrett, but the scout disagreed with me on that. And so I always like to try and give everybody the both sides of the story.
I appreciate it, man. I think it's exciting that they brought in new guys, because I just didn't have any confidence in.
Yeah, I think, like I say, I need to circle
chaos back.
I need to circle back and see if that. In fact, has the practice squad stuff come out yet? Did they? They got to wait for Childers and them to clear tomorrow.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. We won't know about Childers till the morning.
We won't know Childers till tomorrow.
Maybe the afternoon.
Yeah. So I guess the plan is to try and maybe.
Hopefully they can get Childers back. I'd be upset if somebody.
I would
else
too. I thought he played well enough to. I like the physicality.
I like the upside. Yeah. I mean, I love the way Booth can whatever, but Childress, yeah, he's got some potential.
I agree.
I think we're probably going to extra time. I don't think they're going straight to penalties, but it has ended 2-2 there in Grimsby Town, trying to get the massive upset against Manchester United in the EFL Cup. I got to familiarize myself with their overtime rules, but we'll get Danny Cannell on talking college football with him next here. It's the G-Bag Nation and the Fan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. No matter why your clients give, their donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360. They can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or other non-cash assets like real estate and even crypto, while recommending grants at any time. DAF Giving 360 can offer you over 25 years of expertise, bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit MensTeaClinic.com. That's MensTeaClinic.com.